Hi, I'm Trevor Cartwright, the Warsash Ward Councillor. Welcome to the Tree Trail. The Tree Trail is a self-guided circular walk around the Warsash Common Local Nature Reserve, which is approximately 1.5 kilometres in length. The terrain varies significantly, but on the whole, the paths are passable throughout the year. The Tree Trail has been designed to encourage people of all ages to take more advantage of our local natural environment. There are 12 native trees within the trail, and this audio version will give you the opportunity to learn which tree is which, as well as the facts about the ecology and botanical features. You will also hear about the uses of the wood and some of the folklore associated with each tree. There is also a section at the end of each tree which is directly related to the Owam lunar tree calendar. The Celts selected one tree for each moon throughout the year, and we provide a short explanation of what each tree meant to this culture. The walk incorporates a wide variety of different habitats, which includes open grasslands, water bodies, as well as wet and dry woodlands. I hope you enjoy the walk.
The Silver Birch. This is a native of the UK and most of the Northern Hemisphere. Known as the Lady of the Woods, the silver birch can grow up to 40 feet in the right conditions and can live for up to 100 years. However, most live between 50 and 60 years. This species has both male and female flowers in the form of catkins, with the female ones being small and erect and the male being much longer and very floppy. The pollen in the male catkins need help from insects and the wind to pollinate the female flowers. When pollinated, the female catkin will produce hundreds of tiny two-winged seeds, all able to create a sapling. The silvery white nature of the bark was believed by the Celts to ward off evil or negative spirits. Traditionally, the branches were used to drive out the spirit of the old year, which is related to the fact that the finer twigs have been used in besoms or brooms. Another cleansing link relates to the medieval practice of beating lunatics with birch, as it is thought to drive out their demons and bad spirits. The bark is very hard wearing and it takes a long time to rot. It is also waterproof even when peeled from the trunk. Welsh hill farmers in and around Snowdonia traditionally use the bark to make a hat to protect them from foul weather conditions. North American Indians used it to waterproof their canoes. At ground level, birch woods create the perfect growing conditions for grasses, mosses, wood anemone, bluebells, wood sorrel and violets. The tree itself provides food and habitat for more than 334 insect species. The leaves attract aphids, which are a good food source for ladybirds. Woodpeckers often drill into the trunk while the seeds are eaten by siskins, greenfinches and redpoles. To the Celts, the birch is the first tree in the lunar calendar. In Celtic mythology, the birch symbolised renewal and purification, with birch twigs being used to drive out the spirits of the old year. It is a tree of great life-giving properties and is always associated with new beginnings, physical and spiritual. As you make your way to the willow tree, please take a moment to stop and familiarise yourself with the young elm tree, a tree which many of us lost touch with in the late 1970s when Dutch elm disease reached the UK. This is a disease-resistant species.
The willow tree. There are numerous species in the willow family. The white is the tallest at 80 feet. There are male and female trees, and the flowers rely on the wind and insects to pollinate them. The male and female flowers, or catkins, are quite different, with the male being brighter and very downy when young. This is used by many birds when they are constructing their nests. Christians originally placed branches of this tree in coffins before burial, as it was believed that the willow helped ease the soul into the heavens. This is similar to the Celtic tradition of planting a willow sapling on a grave, with the belief that the spirit in the earth would grow into the tree and up into the spirit world. In agricultural communities, it was traditional for those with a broken heart to put willow in their hat to attract new love and to protect them from jealous thoughts about their lost love. The origins of knock on wood are said to stem from an old country belief that to knock on a willow would protect the person from evil and bring good luck. Whilst most willows produce a softwood, The white willow produces very strong timbers, which we use to make roof rafters, and 2 pounds 6 ounces of the same species was used to make the cricket bats. The tannin in the bark of goat willow is combined with other man-made ingredients to create the anti-inflammatory drug salicin and the original aspirin. Other uses include making the rake teeth, clothes pegs, and weaving rods for baskets. The willow attracts 450 species of insects, which includes the caterpillars, the puss moth, eyed hawk, and red underwing. The catkins provide an important source of early nectar and pollen for bees, and the branches make good nesting and roosting sites for birds like the sparrow. To the Celts, this tree was known as the Tree of Enchantment. The willow is a strong power in this system. In all her seasons and shapes, the tree is a potent symbol of grief. It is also used for healing and help in grief after death. Please now make your way to the blackthorn.
The blackthorn. There are many similarities between the blackthorn and the hawthorn. One way of telling them apart is to remember that the blackthorn will flower before the hawthorn, but won't come into leaf until the hawthorn blossoms. The name is associated with the very dark colour of the bark and the long, very pointed thorns. It is often the first tree to blossom even before winter is over, and the dense cover of star-shaped, five-petaled flowers can look like a covering of snow or a sharp hoarfrost in a hedge or thicket. This is also known as a blackthorn winter. Blackthorn topped the maypole used in May Day celebrations and was combined with the hawthorn to make the garland. These spring garlands were often laced with mistletoe and hung on the edge of a village to bring good luck for all living and working there. Special crowns were made by farmers and burned in the spring. The ashes were then scattered on the field to increase fertility. A scratch or even a shallow puncture of the skin from a thorn will often turn septic unless treated. There are stories which tell of thorns being placed under saddles of horses, which when sat on would make the horse rear up and unseat the rider with the aim to kill them. During the 15th and 16th centuries period, it was believed that the devil would prick those he wished to work with, and many women believed to be witches were stripped and their bodies searched for the devil's mark. If any such mark was found, the suspect would be tried and burnt on a pyre of blackthorn. Blackthorn, along with hawthorn and hazel, has long been used to create hedges. The more mature branches were often cut and used to make the teeth for rakes, and the fruit, known as the sloe, is used to make jelly. The surface of the fruit can be pricked with a needle several times and added to gin and brown sugar to make sloe gin. The blossom appears early in the spring and offers a rich source of nectar and pollen for bees. The leaves attract the caterpillars of a number of moths, which includes the lackey. It is also used by black and brown hair-streaked butterflies. A variety of birds, like the blue-tit and robin, search the leaves for caterpillars and other insects in the spring and feast on the berries in the autumn. To the Celts, this is a tree of profound magical tradition. It is used for banishing negativity and raising awareness and energy. The trees are an ancient native species and the fruits were eaten by early man. There's evidence that the blackthorn was used in Iron Age communities 3,400 years ago. Whilst you make your way to the hazel tree, please note the sycamore and the common lime trees. You might like to compare a leaf from the lime with that of the hazel and note how similar they are in shape and size.
The hazel. The hazel can grow up to 30 feet tall. However, it is rare for it to grow into a full tree. The flowers or catkins are often seen in January, with the male ones being much longer and floppier than the short, stubby females. These are also known as lamb's tails. The hazelnuts ripen in the early autumn, but the tree needs to be at least 10 years old before it is mature enough to produce the nut. The Celts of both Ireland and Scotland thought of the hazel as the tree of knowledge. in pagan times, cutting down a hazel without permission was punishable by death. The name of Hazelmere in Surrey is thought to have come from the old Anglo-Saxon herders' name for their rods or staffs, which they called hazels. These rods were used to control their animals. In Gaelic, hazel is called cow or col, and one of Ireland's most famous kings was called Macol, the son of Hazel. To prevent toothache, some people would carry a double hazelnut in their pocket. They would also create a cross made from hazel, which would be laid on a snake bite. It was believed that the cross would draw out the poison. Woodsmen coppiced hazel and used the rods for beaters, bean poles, clothes props, pegs, and hedge stakes. The thatcher's springles were used to hold the thatch in place. The Romans also used the thinner, more flexible twigs to tie vines and stakes. The Cornish still use hazel rods to douse for mineral veins and water. Hazel is still very popular with those who make walking sticks, and many Scottish and Welsh herders have been buried with their trusty stick. 106 species of insects live in or off this species. Not only are hazelnuts used by dormice to fatten up before hibernation, but in spring, the leaves are a good source of food for caterpillars, which the dormice also eat. Celtic culture notes that the hazel had the ability to connect the conscious with the unconscious and is good for bringing ideas to the surface and for transforming dreams into reality. It is associated with wisdom and knowledge, with meditation, and an ability to increase psychic and intuition. Coppicing the many trunks was also believed to provide a strong link to the earth. Please now make your way to the beech tree.
The beech tree. Known as the mother of the woods, the beech grows well on chalky soils and can reach the height of up to 140 foot. The dense nature of a woodland canopy can restrict light reaching the floor, and often there is not much vegetation growing at ground level. The leaves are very light sensitive and will twist on the stalks to face the sun. They are also high in potash, which when rotted is released into the soil. Male and female catkins grow on the same tree, but the first crop of the very nutritious nuts will not appear until the tree is at least 50 years old. Even then, the tree will only produce a full crop every 5 years. The colour of the wood is very pale and has long been used as a writing surface. Some of the earliest Viking books were written on slices of beech. During the medieval period, sailors and soldiers would cut a thin piece of beech and write or scratch a wish on it and bury it in or near a holy place. This was seen as a good luck charm before going into battle. The beech nuts are highly nutritious and can be eaten by animals and humans. However, the high levels of potash contained within the nut can lead to headaches or dizziness if humans eat too many at one time. Farmers do not let their pigs gorge on beech nuts either, as the high oil content can have a negative effect on the meat. The wood is very close-grained and, like the oak, is very tough. It is also quite watertight, and the tall, straight nature of the mature tree meant that traditional shipbuilders would often use it when constructing the keel. It also makes good parquet flooring and small pieces of furniture. It is, however, prone to woodworm and is rarely used to make the bigger pieces of furniture, like bureaus. As this tree gets older, up to 98 insects can be found feeding or using it. It makes an important habitat for over 40 butterflies. The leaves are also eaten by the caterpillars of a variety of moths, including the barred hook tip and olive crescent. The seeds are eaten by moths, voles, squirrels, and birds. This is not a traditional Oum tree, but many trees have ivy, which is part of the Oum culture. Gort ivy represents the search for the self, and the wandering spirit of the ivy can either restrict or bind or unite. It is associated both with freedom and attachment. Please now make your way to the holly.
The holly. This evergreen shrub is a native of the UK, and whilst it grows slowly, it can reach heights of between 30 and 40 feet. The leaves are tough and are very prickly below 12 feet. There are male and female holly trees, and they bloom in May. The female flowers change into berries if there is a male tree close by from which the pollen has been transferred. The flowers are tiny and are a pale pink and white and look like stars. The berries are ripe by September and include four stones containing seed. They are dispersed by birds such as larks, finches, nightingales and fieldfares who eat them. However, they are poisonous to all other animals. If the tree fruits well one year, it will rest the next. In pre-Christian Britain, Druids advised people to take holly into their homes in the winter. It was believed that the holly in the house would provide shelter for the elves and fairies who would join mortals at this time without creating disturbance or harm. However, it was important that the holly was removed by the 31st of January, as any left would lead to bad luck. Christians know this as Twelfth Night. Holly is believed to be especially lucky for single men in the West Country, and if a leaf or a berry is carried by them, it was said that they would soon become attractive to women. The very prickly leaves were referred to as he holly, and the smoother ones as she holly. At Yuletide, an old North Country belief says that if the smooth-leaved holly is brought into the house by the lady first, she would rule the household in the new year. And vice versa, if the man brought the sharp-leaf holly in first. It became known as the poor man's ebony and ivory during the Victorian period, and was used to make the handles of cutlery by those that could not afford the real thing. The tiny flowers provide nectar and pollen for bees and other pollinating insects. The leaves are eaten by caterpillars of the holly blue butterfly, along with those of various moths, including the yellow-barred brindle and the holly tortoise. The smooth, high leaves are eaten by the deer in the winter. The berries provide food for birds, wood mice and dormice. To the Celts, the holly is a masculine tree and a symbol of potent life energy. It is used to help restore direction and balance in life and unites the past with the present. It is believed to bring love and compassion and is a tree of protection. The energy of holly was used to heal a broken heart. Please now make your way to the alder.
The alder. The alder grows well near rivers and water. It is the only deciduous tree that produces a cone, which is the fruit of male and female catkins, which grow on the same tree. The male catkins are singular and are a rich purple or red colour. They are longer than the female ones, which grow in small clusters and are green and cone-like in shape. The tree has come to mean many things to many different cultures. To the Irish, when the sap is exposed to the air, it was seen to be the blood of the fairies. Many alders were considered sacred and it was forbidden to chop them down. When travelling cross country, they would change their routes if they could see any groups of alder on the horizon, as this often meant they were approaching a wetland area. Alder makes very good charcoal and was often used by the blacksmiths to make swords and spearheads. The association of the sap and blood was seen as a strong link between warriors and slaying their enemy. It was believed that weapons made from alder charcoal would increase the strength of both the weapon and the warrior. Alder is very durable when exposed or left in water after it is cut. Many Lancastrians traditionally make their clogs from it. Many of the supports used to construct bridges which spanned local rivers were made from the alder. Jetties and some lock gates were also constructed from alder with piles, often forming the foundations for properties in Venice, the Netherlands and France. Small-scale weavers still use the sap to dye wool and cotton. Red and green dye can be made from the catkins, which was originally used to make the clothing favoured by foresters and woodsmen. The leaves were also used by tanners when making leather, but they do not use the bark as this contains too much tannin. The alder and the damp woodland conditions attract over 141 different species of insects, including the pearl-bordered fritillary and checkered skipper, and over 100 lichens. It is the food plant for the caterpillars of several moths, including the alder kitten and blue-bordered carpet moth. Catkins provide an early source of nectar and pollen for bees, and the seeds are eaten by the siskin, redpoll and goldfinch. For the Celts, the magic of the alder is believed to span the space between earth and water, with its roots in the two elements, and the tree never stands far from water. It is the magical tree of Bran, king of the Celts. It is seen to help with physical and spiritual protection. It also gives courage and eases mental fear and doubt. Please now make your way to the apple.
The apple. The crabapple is the only indigenous form of apple tree in the UK, and it wasn't until the 18th century that hybrids were imported and grown on a commercial basis. The crabapple is another member of the rose family, and the wild crabapple has thorns. The cider apple is related to the original crabapple and is thought to have been developed or domesticated as a result of its sharp taste. Traditionally, the apple trees, both wild and domesticated, were blessed with cider in a ceremony known as wassailing. A bowl of spiced cider and pieces of apple was passed among orchard workers and the village folk. Glasses were raised in a toast of thanks to the trees for their fruits and to wish for a good harvest in the following year. Trees were then watered with some of this cider. In the North Country, cutting an apple and counting the pips was used as a way to foretell a marriage. If the number of pips were even, then a marriage would be inevitable. If the number were uneven, the person would remain unmarried for quite some time. Another way of foretelling the future of a marriage or a relationship was to again to cut an apple, and if one pip was cut, the relationship could be stormy. If two pips were cut, the relationship would be short-lived. The juice for the wild crabapple is often made into a vinegar, and the fruit is used to make conserves and jellies. The wood is a favourite with carvers and toolmakers alike. It carves well and was used to make the handles of small hand tools like knives. The leaves are food for the caterpillars of many moths, including the eyed hawk moth. The flowers provide an important source of early pollen and nectar for insects, particularly bees, and the fruit is eaten by the birds, including blackbird, thrush and crow. Mice, voles, foxes and badgers also eat the apples when they fall. For the Celts, the native crabapple were found in the remains of Bronze Age burial grounds, and cultivated varieties were brought in with the Roman ships. Under Celtic law, the apples are good for spiritual healing and protection, as seen as a symbol of rejuvenation, love and immortality. Please now make your way to the hawthorn.
Hawthorn. Haw is Anglo-Saxon for hedge, and when planted to form a hedge, it can provide food and shelter for over 50 species of birds, mammals and insects. It is part of the rose family and does not grow particularly tall. It is more a bush. It lives for up to 400 years. There are two main species, the common and the English variety. The difference between these is in the colour and fragrance of the blossom. The English hawthorn has a pink tone to the blossom and has a distinctive smell. The common variety has a white flower and was once known as the white thorn. There is no smell to this flower. For the agricultural community, the hawthorn has long been a symbol of fertility. Young couples were encouraged to get married in late spring when the tree is in full blossom, so that the bride could wear a crown made from a mixture of flowers and young leaves. One of the oldest myths is associated with the Glastonbury thorn. Joseph of Arimathea is said to have rested on his staff on top of Weriel Hill. During the night, it took root and became a hawthorn tree. There is still a hawthorn at Glastonbury, and each year a blossoming twig is sent to the Queen as a gesture of good luck and protection from lightning. In Scotland, the bark was used to make a black dye, and the leaves are still used to make tea. The flowers can be used to make a country wine, and the berries are still used in chutney and jellies. Hawthorn can support up to 209 insects. It is the food plant for caterpillars of many moths, including the hawthorn, small egger, and lappet moths. Dormice eat the flowers, and they also provide nectar and pollen for bees and other pollinating insects. The berries are rich in antioxidants and enjoyed by many migrating birds like redwings and field pheasants, as well as small mammals like field and wood mice. For the Celts, hawthorn has the ability to open the heart to spiritual growth and love. The hawthorn is good for relieving stress and releasing blocked energy, and also creates the ability to trust and let go of fear. It is also good for cleansing and protection. As you make your way toward the oak, please look out for the bird cherry and note the similarities between the leaf of this tree and another species of a domestic apple tree, which is just a few metres along the trail.
The oak tree, known as the father of the woods, the pendenculate or English oak and the sessile oak are native to the UK. Others like the holm or holly oak and the turkey oak had been introduced from afar. The native species can grow up to 100 feet and live well over 600 years. However, the first full crop of acorns may not be seen for up to 60 years. The tree contains both male and female catkins, and they can be seen from April. The male catkin produces the pollen, is long and droops down, while the female catkin is shorter, more upright, and will produce the acorn. Traditionally, oaks were planted to identify county and settlement boundary lines. At the time of the Domesday surveys, the value of a woodland was assessed not by their size, but by the number of oaks providing acorns, which could be used to feed livestock. During the pre-Christian period, it was traditional for couples to be married under the oak. After Christianity was adopted, clergymen often preached from a mature oak, which became known as the Gospel Oaks. Charles II is said to have hidden in an oak after the Battle of Worcester, hence the term Royal Oak. For many years, people believed that carrying an acorn would bring luck, sustain youth, and provide a healthy life. The hard, close-grained nature of oak is very durable and has been used to construct ships, churches, and many other types of property for centuries. The term heart of oak was developed during the Tudor period when many houses were constructed with oak frames. This is where the term home is where the heart is comes from. Oaks provide a habitat rich in biodiversity. They support many life forms that are native to this tree. They host over 423 species of insect, which are the food source of many British birds like the nuthatch. When the acorns fall, badgers and deer feast on them. For the Celts, the oak is also known as the king of trees. It's probably the most well-known and best-loved tree in Britain. One of our longest living and largest trees has seen its use as a symbol of strength and duration. The most sacred tree of the Druids, it is seen as a doorway to inner spirituality. It restores the will and determination that may have become weakened in times of stress and will lead to the truth. Please now make your way to the yew tree.
The yew tree. This conifer is probably the largest living native tree, with some surviving over 1,000 years. It is slow growing, with the main trunk taking up to 150 years to form the familiar hollow appearance. The bark is very thin and peels very easily, which means the heart of the tree is not well protected. It is this weakness that can encourage the trunk to become hollow, despite the fact that the girth will continue to grow. Unlike other conifers, this species does not produce any cones. They are male and female trees. The wind must blow the pollen from the male tree to the female tree, which holds the tiny fruit flower. The yellow pollen is only released on warm, dry days in the spring, and this can produce a noticeable haze if there are lots of them in any one place. This is one of the most poisonous trees in the UK, with the taxin deadly to both humans and animals. Traditionally, pre-Christian armies would gather under a yew tree to be blessed by the local druid, and the soldiers would cut branches from the tree to make arrows. This association was adapted by Christian clergy, and many churches were built close to a mature yew, especially those used as a place of worship by the druids. This is why there is the association between a yew tree and a graveyard. It was considered unlucky to cut down or damage a yew tree. Coffins or shrines were only ever made from those that had fallen as a result of bad weather. It was also considered unlucky to let those branches damaged by lightning or high winds to stay on the land, as it was believed that the negative spirit of the storm remained within the branches. One of the most famous uses of the yew is the making of the longbow. This particular weapon was used to great effect by the English armies. Elizabeth I was given a lot of Spanish yew by the king, which was made into bows. These weapons were then used to great effect by the English in the subsequent confrontations with the Spanish. The fruit is eaten by birds such as the blackbird, mistle thrush, song thrush, and winter visitors like the field fare. Small mammals like squirrels and dormice also feed on them. The leaves are eaten by caterpillars of the satin beauty moth. For the Celts, the yew is the last in the Owen lunar calendar. It is believed to offer knowledge about rebirth and transformation. It also offers access to the ancestors and spirit realms. As you turn down the main track toward the ash tree, take a moment to observe the mature horse chestnut and the very young sweet chestnut trees. As you will see, the leaves are very different despite the similarity in name.
The ash tree. A native of Britain, this tree can grow up to 150 feet and live well over 100 years. It is easy to recognise in the winter as the branches grow opposite one another and the leaf buds are black. In summer, the leaves can be confused with the rowan, but there are 5 pairs of leaflets on the ash and at least 7 on the rowan. The difference is that the leaves on the ash grow opposite one another on the twig, but on the rowan they grow alternately. The fruit is better known as wings or helicopters, and they hang in large bunches, also known as keys. These are the seeds and are the produce of the male and female flowers which grow on the same tree. A tree needs to be at least 40 years old before it produces fertile seeds. The Vikings were also known as the Men of Ash. The ash was believed by them to hold much magical spirit, that being the spirit of Odin, who hung himself from a living ash in an effort to realize his true being or inner self. Ash was used in the building of longboats, weapons, and the bowls or cups used in many of their ceremonies. The Irish culture also thought that the ash held a magical spirit, and it is believed that St. Patrick drove all serpents from the island with an ash stick in around 500 AD. The flexible and tough qualities of the tree have long been recognised, and in certain parts of the UK, like the Lake District, there are long avenues of ash trees which have been pollarded on a regular basis. The ash grows quickly and very straight. Ash woodlands were worked and coppiced every 7 to 10 years, with the long poles being used to make basket frames, fence panels, and crossbows. This tree provides a home to 239 insects, and when mature, up to 710 lichen, mosses, and fungi. Bullfinches eat the wing seeds, and woodpeckers, owls, redstarts, and nuthatches use the trees for nesting. The leaves are an important food plant for the caterpillars of the cornet, brick, and privet hawk moth. For the Celts, the ash tree, called Yggdrasil, is also known as the Tree of Life, or the Great World Tree in the mythology of Odin, and is believed to be full of magic. The only one of the olive family, apart from the privet, that is native to Britain, it is used for protection and to enhance courage before going to sea.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the tree trail. If you'd like more information on this walk or any others in Fareham, please contact the Countryside Officer on 01329 236 100. Thanks again.